Challenge before I go and leave, and it's a cracker, guys. It's a really good one. I'm happy to be here in the house of God on this Father's Day to share with you the Word of God that He's given to me, that He's put on my heart. I know some of you, Father's Day is maybe not the happiest of memories that you have about your dad. For some of you, you had a great dad, and Father's Day, just, you know, that family reunion is great times and whatever. But I hope I can bring a message this morning that no matter what your dad was like, that you just get an appreciation for God the Father, and just His heart towards you. So the title of my message this morning is Snapshots of the Father. Snapshots of the Father. And maybe just turn to the person next to you and say, hey, we're family. Maybe introduce yourself while you're at it. Just say, if you don't know the people around you, it's always good to get to know new people, because we are all a family. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we all going to end up in the same place at the same party one day, which is going to be awesome. So, snapshots of the Father. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray as we prepare our heart for the Word of the Lord today. Father God, open our hearts to see who You really are. Help us to set our personal experiences of our Heavenly Father's good or bad aside, as we seek to know the truth of who You really are and what a perfect Father looks like. In Jesus' name, amen. My key passage is from John this morning. John 14, verse 1 to 7 in the New Living Translation. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. This is Jesus speaking. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I am going. I think it carries on. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him that very famous scripture, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. You know, throughout the Bible, we can see God being referred to as a Father, a good one that loves his children. It's actually surprisingly rare in the Old Testament. God is only referred to as a Father 15 times in the whole Old Testament, but it's highly prevalent in the New Testament. You know, and this is probably because under the laws and the rules of the Old Testament, there was like a disconnect, a barrier between Father God and us. We were all slaves and we didn't have this like direct connection to God. We had to go through priests and sacrifices and all that. But then Jesus stepped in and he bridged that connection and he reignited that Father's love towards each and every one of us. Jesus made the reconnection. He paved the way for each and every one of us to be sons and daughters of God. And with that said, you know, Jesus spent a great deal of his time on earth teaching about God and who he really is and what he's really like. You know, as most people at the time, I think, saw God as like this judge, you know, oh yeah, you've done wrong and I'm just going to hurl a lightning bolt at you again and mess up your life until you come back to me. God is a judge, but he's a just judge. But I think about, you know, when the disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? He didn't say, oh yeah, let's close our eyes. This is how you pray. Our judge who art in heaven, or our ruler who art in heaven, or supreme slave master who art in heaven. No, Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. It brings that whole personal family element out. Jesus personally refers to God as Father 165 times in the four Gospels alone. I mean, that's pretty profound. The rest of the New Testament sees God referred to as our Father a great deal number of times too. For example, you know, when Paul wrote the letters that he wrote, the 13 letters, he used that phrase, our Father or Father God, another 40 plus times. So God is a Father as far as Christianity is concerned. But Father for you and Father for me and Father for someone else might mean a totally different thing. As I said before, Father's Day is not necessarily a good day for some of us as we think back on the examples that our fathers were to us, or maybe painful memories that we had to relive because of our father. You know, sometimes we completely shut down when we hear that term father because it speaks of maybe abandonment, maybe you didn't have one, or maybe abuse, or maybe dysfunction, or manipulation. Maybe your dad just, you know, he liked had this twisted sense of humor and he used to just, I don't know, neglect. The list goes on. Maybe your father wasn't ideal. Each of us has a concept when we hear that word, when we hear father or dad. We have a concept. Some of us, it's too painful to call our fathers dad. We know them on a first name basis, maybe. You know, it's just another person in our life. But, you know, these concepts, they may start, it's funny how we as humans, we like to deflect some of our experiences that we're going through. We put those experiences, we put like them on as like lenses, like glasses, like these are my experiences. I've only known a father through these lenses. And when I put that on, I look at God and you're also a father. So I'm looking at you through my father lens. And I just, you know, you put all these things, these characteristics, these traits of your earthly father on God. And that's not right. That's not correct. And I want to look at a couple of categories of fathers that you might have had or you might have experienced or maybe that you can relate to. This is not exhaustive. There's heaps of different fathers and personalities out there. But I think if we look at these different categories, we can look at how God is not like some of these examples of fathers. The first dad or father figure that I want to look at is the absent dad. Now, maybe you can identify with that. Maybe because of death, or because of divorce, or because maybe your dad was just a workaholic, or maybe he just walked out on the family for whatever reason. No, dad just wasn't there for you. You never really knew your dad. And so when you hear Father God, you feel this distance. You feel like, oh God, maybe you're there for me now, but can I really trust you? I'm sure you're just going to walk out again. You know, we can put that kind of experience on God. Or maybe, you know, you knew your dad and he passed away, but now he's gone and you're only left with distant memories and like a loneliness, and you kind of feel this disconnect between you and God. So your concept of the Creator God is similar. You maybe wonder if God really exists, or does he really care about me, or is he even real at all? You know, maybe your dad left behind a whole trail of unfulfilled promises because he wasn't there for you. Let me tell you, God is the God of the promise. God is the God who will come through for you. And if you think your dad was absent, let me tell you, God is not an absent God. The second father figure I want to look at is the critical dad. I think some of you could maybe relate to this. Maybe your father was really performance-based, or maybe he had a couple of dreams to be like an AFL footy star, and he never lived that out, and so he pushed you into places you didn't want to be because he was trying to live his dreams through you. You know, maybe your dad was, you know, very, his standards were just so high. You could never hope to meet it, you know, he wanted you to behave in a certain way, and he was quick to just, you know, you trying to express the person that you are or go in a direction that you think you want to pursue. And he's like, no, that's a terrible idea. Do you know what we've sacrificed to get you to where you are? How can you even think of pursuing that? You know, maybe your dad was just super critical, or he just poked criticism at you in general. You know, shoot down any attempts that you had, you know, that maybe not quite up to par. Maybe he was an amazing scratch golfer, and every time he went out, it was just his chance to just knock you down and be like, yeah, you see, you just can't never get it right. You struggle because of this, because of you think that maybe your dad is critical. You think that God is super critical, that God is watching your every move, and he's like, oh, yeah, see, you're never going to live up to my standard. The truth is, none of us are going to live up to God's standard. That's why he sent Jesus in our place, because we could never be perfect, but Jesus could. And you know, God has extended us this free gift of grace, of forgiveness, this price tagless free gift. Sometimes some of us might have had an experience of, yeah, dad's being nice to me and he's doing stuff for me, but I know that I'm going to have to do something back to him, that he's like keeping a score, keeping an account. You had to earn your love from your dad somehow, and you see God in the same way. Or maybe you had an addicted or passive dad. An addicted or passive dad. You know, maybe your dad was physically there but not emotionally invested. He may have had like a really tough job or a really tough upbringing, and because of that he kept medicating himself. He was maybe a functioning alcoholic or a drug addict, or you know, he just kind of like alienated himself from the people around him, and he just kind of let mom, you know, raise the kids, and he was just not really there. He didn't really care. Maybe he was constantly locked himself in his bedroom or study, or just blobbed in front of the TV, or was always out with the boys having a pint at the pub, and just not there, just passive. You know, maybe he was henpecked and overridden by your mom, you know, and although he tried to be physically there, you know, just maybe he was a victim of never being able to get it right, and so he just checked out with his emotions, just like, okay, fine, I'm never going to get it right. You just take the kids and run them how you see fit. I just give up. You know, maybe you've had an experience like that, and that shaped your idea of God as well. You know, maybe you think that God cares. Yeah, maybe he cares about the big things, like providing for his family, like giving me a job and favor and stuff like that. But God's far too busy to be around for me. You know, he's off saving the universe and doing a whole lot of other things like my dad was. And I'm sure God doesn't have time for me. He surely doesn't have time for my problems. You feel that God's maybe a little bit selfish and just out for his own plans, but doesn't really factor you into his equations. Or maybe you had an abusive dad. A dad who was, and I really sympathize and I have so much compassion and empathy for you if this was your experience, but, you know, a dad who was either physically, sexually, emotionally abusive towards you for whatever reason, and others in your family. You know, they say hurt people, but that's not an excuse. Whatever your dad was going through, it's not an excuse for him to be abusive towards you, but maybe because of that you feel that fathers are, and the idea of fatherhood is just a complete waste of time and a failure. You know, you harbor anger and resentment and judgment towards your dad, and some of that spilling over onto God. You know, God, why did I have to go through that? Why did you let that man do that to me when I was helpless? And how can you really be a loving God when you let that happen to me? Because of this, you find it hard to trust Father God. You think that he's manipulative, self-serving, you know, that he's out to get you. You feel that it's best to just ignore God and distance yourself from him because he's surely going to hurt you like your own father did. You struggle to believe that God loves you and cares for you and about the small details of your life. And if he does love you, it's maybe only a facade, you know, to try to get you to let your guard down so that he can take advantage of you and hurt you and exploit you again. I was thinking, okay, there's a lot of negative ways that maybe we had dads, but there's also a lot of positive ways that could also make us put unhealthy things on our concept of God. I think of one is like, maybe you had a number one fan dad. And I'll explain what that is. So your father may have been really good to you overall. You have quite a good concept of your dad, and he was present and he was encouraging. He made it to all your sports games and your cultural performances. He told you he loved you and he was proud of you. Whether you performed or not. And he was a loving example, and he tried to be your number one fan, being there for you as much as possible. Sure, he had his faults and wasn't perfect, but he always thought you would achieve and reach heights that he could never achieve himself. He sincerely wanted the best for you. But like, we then can place some of those things and make an unhealthy concept of God there as well. Because of this, we might think God is so awesome, and maybe we tend to downplay the gravity of our own sins and mistakes and failures because, oh, our dad let us get away with so much. He was just our number one fan. We can never do anything wrong. And sometimes we feel like that with God as well. If we've had that kind of dad figure in our life, it's like, oh, yeah. I just told another lie. It's not really a big deal. You know, I don't really need to ask repentance for that, do I? Or like, it's not that big a deal for me to, you know, live with my girlfriend before we get married. It's not really a big deal. God's my number one fan. You know, like, we reckon that God loved us no matter if we experimented with drugs, if we slept around before marriage, if we acted out, had a tantrum from time to time, because our dad kind of just forgave us. And yes, God is a forgiving God. He's gracious, but he's also a just judge. And he only extends the forgiveness to us when we cry out in repentance, when we cry out from that state of, Lord, I'm so sorry for what I've done. Forgive me. I messed up again, and I need your grace. I need your love. I need your forgiveness. So sometimes even if you had a positive father figure, you can put these kind of false, like, traits on God, as it were. You know, you might think like you really don't have any standards to uphold, and it's just live your life and be merry. You know, God's got you. I've prayed the sinner's prayer. I'm good. But that's not how it is. You know, we are called to be growing and moving and discipling others and sort of taking the gospel out there and, you know, just helping others in their walk with God, not just staying in one place, sinning, and then just sort of fobbing it off as not a big deal. You know, for example, you know, I've had a really good dad. I think, in my estimation, not perfect, but he was good for me, really, really good. And the one aspect of my father is that he was a provider. And so what I hope to do today, church, is, as I'm going to go back to the story, but as we're exploring all these different kinds of father figures, think about your dad and what he was like. And what I want to challenge you with this morning is all your experiences of God, all your experiences of God might be tainted by your experiences of your dad, but also not all your experiences of your dad are not true of God. You know, God told us that he was a father for a reason, because there are some things, some characteristics, some traits of fathers that he outworks as a father. So I think it's on us to think about, Lord, the father that you gave me, he did X, Y, and Z. Let me take those three things to the Word, to the Bible, and see if those three things are true of you. If X is true of you, I'll hold on to that. If Y and Z are not true of you, I'm going to discard them. And Lord, you redeem and you change my way of thinking towards you, because obviously my dad wasn't perfect in every way. So coming back to my story, my dad was an amazing provider. We went through some really tough times growing up. You know, we lost everything in Zimbabwe and my dad had to start again. But one thing that I always respected and honored of my dad is that he worked really hard. He always worked like relatively long hours and made sure that there was food on the table, whatever he had to do. He took us on holidays when we could afford it. He bought us clothes and gifts, and he put us through private schooling, which is really awesome. And because of this, I'll always see my dad as a provider, as someone who cares enough to look after me. And I put that trait on God, and I see God as a provider as well. But until I'm not going to accept that of God until I go into his word and I find, Lord, my experience of my dad was that he was a provider. But Lord, are you a provider? I think of God as someone who, despite my circumstances, will always be there for me, bless me in whatever way he can manage. And the thing is before I automatically just accept this, I need to check it in his word. And I only came to start accepting this as a trait of my father God when I looked at scriptures like Philippians 4 verse 19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So I was like, Lord, you gave me a dad who provided for me. And I see in your word that you say you will provide for us, your kids. So therefore, I'm going to put that on the shelf. And when I pray to God, I'm going to think of him as my provider. So sometimes when we look at our experiences of dad and what dad was to you, we need to ask ourselves this question: is this my truth or the truth? So I'm going to look at a couple of snapshots of Father God and what the Bible says about what he really is. The truth. I want to uncover the truth of who Father God is. Being Father's Day, I want to try, church, and very briefly, I know some of you, like I said, have maybe gone through some really tough experiences when it comes to a father, but maybe start to change your mindset and redeem that term, father, for you, however painful that word may be. Let's sort out some of the things that you may have accepted of the truth of God and see it for what it is. It's your truth, and it has no biblical foundation to be accepted. We all need the truth in our lives when it comes to God. As we read earlier in John 14:6, You know, Jesus answered them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus and God, through the Bible, gave us so many pictures, so many snapshots of what the Father is really like, so that when we come before him, we have not a warped idea of him, but we have an accurate, true idea of who he is. They say a picture paints a thousand words, and I hope that the reverse is also true. We're not going to look at a thousand words right now, but I hope that looking at a couple of words of what Jesus and God says in the Bible will give us a picture of what God is really like. As you examine your life today, and also, I don't only want to redeem our concepts of God, but also as the men in the congregation here this morning are one day going to maybe be in a father figure type role, or even if you don't have kids of your own, you're going to be maybe an uncle or just going to be like some kind of elderly father type figure to some people in your life. When we look at these snapshots, not only can it redeem our idea of what God is like, but it can also give us ideas of how we should live out as fathers, what sort of standards we should be trying to adhere to, where we should be going. So the first part that I want to look at of my message this morning, the first sort of part that of snapshots that I want to look at, I want to call this snapshots from the books of wisdom. So this gives us the heart of Father God from the Old Testament, and then we'll be looking at snapshots from the life of Jesus afterwards. But the first thing we're looking at is snapshots from the books of wisdom. One snapshot I want to give you right now is that God has tender feelings towards you. God has tender feelings towards you. I just want that to sink in for a moment. God has tender feelings towards you. Check out Psalm 103:13. No matter what your experience of God or is up to now, or what your father was, God has tender feelings towards you. The same way a loving father feels towards his children, that's but a sample of your tender feelings toward us, your beloved children who live in awe of you. I mean, maybe you had, like I said, a really good father who loved you and respected you and did things for you, but that's a sample of the Father God's tender feelings towards us. We're his beloved children. I also want to say another snapshot is that God may discipline you from time to time, but only because he cares about you and where you end up. You know, I think sometimes as a father figure, it hurts you when you have to discipline your children or pull them up on something or tell them that way you're going is only going to lead to destruction. Don't get involved in that. That's the wrong road to take. But in the same way, God is concerned about the kind of people and the kind of example that we are to this world. We're supposed to be the light of the world, bringing Jesus to the corners of this world. And God's not a passive, uncaring God. Maybe your father just let you get up to whatever you wanted. He didn't want to take the time to discipline you. God's not like that. He cares about you. He cares if you're a little kid and you're about to put your fingers on the stove. He cares enough to say, I don't think that's such a good idea. Take a look at Proverbs 3:11-12. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when he corrects you, for the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. God delights in you. That's why he disciplines you, why he takes you through times where you maybe are confused. Lord, why is this happening to me? Because he wants to grow you, make you stronger, and he has the best for you at the end of the day. Another snapshot, my final snapshot from the books of wisdom is, if your experience in growing up was one of a broken family or an absent and distant father, take a look at this. This speaks a little bit of God's heart towards you. Psalm 68:5-6. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. I love that. God sets the lonely in families. If you're feeling lonely this morning, God cares about you. God loves you. God wants to be your father. He wants to bring you into his perfect family. And as we start nearing the end of this morning's message about fatherhood and our Heavenly Father, the next section I'd like to title, Snapshots from the Life of Jesus. The first scripture that we need to look at is John 14:8-9. It's just a little bit after our key scripture. And it says, well, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus is the ultimate, amazing, photographic picture representation of God the Father. The Son being a chip off the old block, so to speak. Let's look at a couple of snapshots of the Father from the life of Jesus. Luke 12, 29 to 32, in The Voice. Don't reduce your life to the pursuit of food and drink. Don't let your mind be filled with anxiety. I know mine is sometimes, but then I turn it to Father God. Anyway, people of the world who don't know God pursue these things, but you have a Father caring for you, a Father who knows all your needs. Since you don't need to worry about security and safety, about food and clothing, then pursue God's kingdom first and foremost, and these other little things will come to you as well. My little flock, don't be afraid. God is your Father, and your Father's great joy is to give you the kingdom. How comforting. Our Heavenly Father's great joy is to give us the kingdom, to be in relationship with us. A caring Father who knows all our needs. Talk about good news. Isn't that good news, church? We get another snapshot of the Father when Jesus is baptized. You know, I just want to mention that, you know, Jesus had not yet begun his ministry at this point. He hadn't performed any miracles or demonstrated anything that was like, whoa, that's awesome. And let's take a look at what the Father says about Jesus in Luke 3, 21 to 22. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus, like when Jesus was baptized, the Father didn't boom from heaven, ah, you are my servant, and you're going to do all the good works that I have planned for you. You know, God didn't say, let there be a man to display how great I am. You know, he will now go forward and do miracles. Jesus was, I mean, God could have said so many things. He could have said like, oh yeah, you guys thought I wasn't real, but like I'm going to speak now and you're going to know I'm real. You know, he wasn't the one thing that he wanted people to know about Jesus was, Jesus, you're my Son, and in you I'm well pleased. He hadn't turned water to wine. He hadn't fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He hadn't done anything yet. Pretty much just been born, grew up as a carpenter's son. I don't know what he got up to in the first 33 years of his life, or 30 years of his life. But at that point, God's like, man, I'm pleased with you. And I think you need to know that, church. Before we've done anything or achieved anything or accomplished anything, you know, that's the Father's heart towards us. You're my son, you're my daughter, who I love. And in you, I'm well pleased. It's one of the most epic pictures that Jesus gave us of what our Heavenly Father is really like. And another picture is the story of the prodigal son. I know many of you know this story. You're probably bored to death by this story. So I thought that instead of me reading to you the parable of the prodigal son, I found a really cool modern interpretation of the prodigal son in video form. So, just as you watch this, and maybe you're feeling like a little bit like God doesn't accept you, or maybe that you're not worthy of love, or worthy of a second chance, or that, you know, maybe you had a father, as I said, who died at a young age, or he got divorced and left your family behind. But this picture, the story of the prodigal son, that is the true heart of God towards you. There might be people here today who have a very limited view of God and his fatherly love for each and every one of us, who think that God, if God is anything like my father, I want nothing to do with him. Let's open our hearts right now to the message of love and reconciliation that our Heavenly Father wants to extend to each and every one of us. Open your hearts, don't close your hearts, as we now watch this video together, church. I hope it blesses you. Sometimes, just like that prodigal, we think we're too far gone. We think we've messed up too much to deserve the love of our Heavenly Father. But God loved us so much that He laid down the life of His perfect Son, Jesus, on the cross for you, for me. Could I ask you all to be upstanding right now, church? You know, Christianity is not a bunch of rituals. It's not a bunch of checking boxes, doing the right thing, doing the wrong thing. It's a relationship with God. And we want to give a moment right now for, there might be people here today who feel that you want to get right with God, that you want to, reconnect. Maybe you feel like you're that prodigal son, like you've been walking away, you've been going your own way, and you once knew what it was like to be in church, to be in the house of God, to be on fire, but then you got hurt, whether it was by a brother and sister in Christ, whether it was by something unfair that happened to you, and you just can't forgive God for that. I want to say I'm sorry that you feel that way, but this is a moment right now for you to get right with God. Those of you who feel like you've walked away from God and you want to come back right now, now's a moment that you can get right with Him. But also maybe you're here today and you're like, wow, this message of the Father heart of God has so moved me, and I want to know what that is like. I want to be in relationship with a God like that. Not a father who was like my dad, but a perfect dad. A father who just loves me enough to just go to the cross, to die in my place. You know, a God that just wants to make a way where there seems to be no way. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And later on in verse 13, it says, for everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. You might be here today and thinking you're too far gone. God won't take you back. Let me tell you, our God is a God of the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance. He's a God who extends so much grace. But as I said earlier, all you have to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry for the way I've been living my life and I've been putting myself first. But from this moment forward, God, I want to put you first in my life. Church, if you can just help me pray this prayer right now on behalf of people who want to come to God for the first time, or people that want to reconnect with the Father and say, Lord, I'm sorry for the way I've been living my life. I want to come back to you. Let's bow our heads in prayer and pray this prayer after me. Father God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you loved us so much that you're willing to let Jesus die in our place on the cross. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. I believe that Jesus died and rose again on the third day for me. I repent and turn from the way I've been living my life, and I put my trust in you. From this day forward, today is my day of new beginnings. Amen. Keeping your eyes closed and your head bowed right now, church, if there's people here today who prayed that prayer, sincerely meant it, and you want to come back to God or come to God for the first time, this is your moment. Jesus said that if you declare Him publicly before men, He will declare you publicly before His Father in heaven. I don't know where about you, but I want that. And so I don't want to let this moment go by. If you want to get right with God right here, right now, you pray that prayer and you meant it, just do something simple right now. Make it official and pop your hand up for me. If you want to come back into relationship with God, or if you want to come into relationship with God for the first time, just put your hand up. I just want to pray with you and give you a Bible. See anyone here? Just give it a moment. If you want to get right with God, this is your moment. Father God, I just thank you for your people gathered in your house this morning, Lord. We thank you for this message about Father's Day and about God the Father. And Lord, keep just breaking down all the wrong things that we believe of you, Lord, and keep giving us clarity on how amazing you are and how your thoughts towards us are many. Lord God, we just thank you that each and every one of us here has made a decision to be in relationship with you. And Lord, just give us a courage to step out in our workplaces, in our schools, and wherever we might find ourselves, to just tell people that good news about Jesus Christ and what you did to lay your life down to get us back in relationship with you. Father God, we just say thank you for Father's Day. Thank you for a moment to remember what you're like. And Lord, we just thank you for this moment, for your word. We pray that you'll just bless us as we leave this place today. Amen. Church, before we sing one final closing song, I just want to give you my final point today. And this is when I heard this earlier this week, it just floored me. And I want you to take this home. If you don't take anything home from today, this is what I want you to take home, is that God is the perfection, not the reflection of our earthly dad. Whether good or bad, God is a perfect father. And we live in an imperfect world, but he's a perfect father. And he's the perfection of our earthly dad, not the reflection. Bless you guys. Let's sing one final.